This is the RDU on Stage podcast. I'm Lauren Van Hamert, your host, and on this bonus edition, I'm chatting with Rebecca Fox and Rebecca Jackson Artis of The Rebecca Show. This is an audio recording from our virtual event hosted on March 24th. So here's a question for both of you. What is a Becky?
So first of all, I think it's important that we say that if you happen to go by the name Becky, that does not make you a Becky. Anyone can be a Becky. A man can be a Becky. A person who goes by the name Rebecca can be a Becky. A Becky is a person who doesn't ever want to rock the boat, doesn't do the right thing if it's not convenient for him, for them. I think that I guess it comes from like hip hop culture originally, and then is now kind of a part of like maybe the larger pop culture for certain generations of just like, yeah, like someone who's just really kind of clueless or like willfully ignorant or, you know, not right. I don't know. Am I missing something here?
No, it's somebody who has cognitive dissonance, realizes that they might have cognitive dissonance or privilege, and really does nothing about it.
So how did you guys meet, and then where did this come from? Where what was the catalyst for the Rebecca Show?
Well, Rebecca, when I first laid eyes on Rebecca, I knew it was fate. I was asked to direct a reading for the Women's Theater Festival. What was it called, Rebecca?
Occupy the Stage, Stage Reading. Right.
And so it was rehearsal. It was auditions. And Rebecca came in and she read. And out of the many people who read that day, I was like, oh, she has it. Like, she's talented. Like, and people know, like, when you sit in rehearsals as a director or a producer, like, you just know. Like, when somebody walks in the room, you're like, yep, they got it, you know? And so that's what I felt, and I wrote her name at the top of the list. I was blessed to work with her in the reading. And then after the reading, a couple months later, like, I was like, gosh, like, she stayed on my mind. And I was like, okay, I want to work with her. And then, you know, like, when somebody like that, like, kind of sticks in your brain and you're like, wait, is it just because I like her for then, or do, like, you know, like, you kind of like have to sit on it? That's how I am. I'm very Capricorn that way. So I'm like, and so, and then I was like, wait, 2 months later, I'm like, no, I still want to work with her. So then I called her, we met for lunch, and I proposed to her, you do a show with me. And she was like, yes, that's how it happened. And we made comedy love together.
Well, and what I love is you said when we spoke before that you got the funny from your mom and that your mom is super funny. So tell me about how mom is funny and how by osmosis you got the funny.
Right. Yeah. No, my mother is hilarious, but my mother got it from her grandmother. I mean, from her mother. My grandmother. So, like, you know, unfortunately now we can't have the three of us in the room anymore because my grandmother passed away in 2009. But when the three of us were in the room together, people would be laying on the floor laughing. Because my grandmother was, and a lot of times you didn't know if she was joking or not. And you had to kind of like, she was one of those people you had to sit there and kind of look for like for 10 more seconds and realize like, oh my gosh, this woman is serious. This is so hilarious. And then so my mom got that. My mom is more of a sarcastic funny. So my grandmother was a quirky funny, and my mom was very sarcastic. And growing up, I knew, and I think the reason why I always fell into comedy, and I've never, and by the way, Lauren, I never wanted to be funny. It's so serious. Like, I've always wanted to be a very serious, very dramatic person. You know, I'm a method actor. But people are like, Rebecca, you are funny. And I think a reason why I've always kind of defaulted to comedy, because growing up in a house that my mom was very liberal, almost like socialist, and my dad was a libertarian, and my dad was an butthole to grow up with. Our house was very tense a lot of times, and I grew up in a marriage that wasn't like, it wasn't too much loving. So when I could make them laugh, I felt in that moment that we were normal.
And how about you, Rebecca Fox? Where does your funny come from? Why comedy? Where does that, what, did you get that from your mom? Did you get that, you know, where does it come from?
Well, same as Rebecca, I didn't start out trying to be a comedian. And I would say that, like, I sometimes feel like a lot of pressure when I'm like, it's a comedy show. Cause then I'm like, oh God, what if people don't laugh? It's funny because I wanted to be an actor and I went to the School of the Arts for high school. And the guy running the program back then, Bob Moyer, was like an acolyte of Paul and Viola Spolin, who were like the inventors of improv games and sort of like the, you know, godparents, grandparents of the Second City. And so I learned how to improvise, but it wasn't like comedy improv. It was like theater games, and it was sort of like as a technique for acting. And then I went to Northwestern and started doing improv there, like doing long form improv there with a group, and then like went on and like did it at IO and da 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 da. So it's sort of like, it's more like improv got me to comedy. I tend to be kind of like an upbeat person, even though I'm like lots, you know, things are really bad. I think I just kind of have like I don't have a sunny outlook, but I think I have a sunny personality. And so like, I see the humor in things, but I don't know, because again, like I'm loathe to describe myself as like a comedy person, because then I feel like if someone doesn't think I'm funny, I am a failure.
Oh my gosh, Rebecca, that's so weird. I feel the same way. Like people, I know that they see me as a comedian and as a comedy writer.
Yeah.
But like, I'm always like, but I'm an artist. I think I'm like, again, I think I'm accidentally funny. Do you understand, yeah, Lauren, when I say that? Like, I think because I'm so honest and because I'm quirky in how I look at things and view things, I think I'm like acting, because there are times I say stuff and I'm really innocent. Like I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And people start falling out laughing. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Okay, well, let me make a note of that. So that happens to me a lot.
What's interesting is you use the word failure, and I'm editing the podcast, the artist podcast, which will drop hopefully in the next couple of days. But Rebecca Jackson, you told me when I interviewed you that canceling the show or postponing the show made you feel a little bit like a failure. So there were so many shows that were waffling last week. Some closed, some stayed open for a few days and wanted to kind of give it a try. Some got postponed. Mm. So talk about that a little bit, because I think it was such a confusing week for everyone, and there was no right and wrong answers.
No, there were no right and wrong answers. But Lauren, see, this is the thing. As artists, we know that there are no right and wrong answers, but as artists, we are constantly searching for the best answer. Do you understand? And so like, also, we know that when we produce things, when we create, and we are ready to show them to the world, well, many times, first of all, like, even when we're ready to show them to the world, we're like, ooh, is this the best work I've ever done? And then when we are ready to show it to the world, and then something like this happens, we feel like it's a reflection on our work. It's a reflection on, like, what did we miss? Like, what did we not do? And as artists, even though it's beyond our control, we as artists are like, we have an audience and we want to keep our audience and we want to nurture our audience and we want to embrace our audience and we don't want to lose our audience. And that when you lose your audience as an artist, you feel like a failure. And that's scary.
It is, but the show will go on and hopefully it'll be scheduled and we'll see it again and it'll evolve. As you navigate a crisis like this, and this is kind of uncharted waters, so this is an unprecedented crisis, but are you able to see the funny in hard moments like this?
I can certainly see absurdity. I think that there's absurdity, and I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that the pandemic itself is funny. I think that, you know, and the gravity of it is so horrifying, but I mean, there is certainly absurdity. I would say that. And for what it's worth, like I have not, it's funny because Rebecca and I have sort of like texted each other a little bit of being like, how are you? Da, 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 I miss you. But I have not been feeling any regret about it at all. Like I didn't feel any FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. Like I don't, you know, I feel like, of course we don't want to lose our audience, but like, I also don't want people to die. I'm just sort of like worst case scenario, we contributed to like, you know, more of this, you know, more of it happening faster. And I don't know. Like I haven't, it's funny because it's like, we had this huge day right after seeing you for the first time, like where we were like on two radio shows and running around and like really getting ready. And like one of those like big, like ramp up right before the show days. And then like that night we were texting. I don't know how much of this is.
I'm combing my hair out for the show.
Yeah. Getting ready, ready. And you know, you were just, I was like, I don't remember which one of us said it first, but I was just like, one of us was like, this virus is making me worried. And then the other one was like, we should close it. Yeah. I think I was just like, this is making me really worried. And you were like, I think we should close it. And I was like, yep, we should close it. And like, that's it. It was like within the span of like 30 seconds and five texts. Like,
yeah. And I so agree with Rebecca. It's like, you know, this is a really not great thing. But I think some of us, just to keep our sanity in the process, we have to laugh.
Oh yeah.
And we have to find humor in this, you know, like Lauren. And so that's why, like, I love the fact that I'm married to a very funny man. Who like loves to joke, and it's like now when I come in from going to the grocery store real quick, he'll like before he opens the door, he'll be like, "Are you infected?"
Oh no!
And it's just like little things like that that just keep us normal. It keeps us sane.
What can our community do to support artists as we navigate this pandemic? Because obviously, it takes an emotional toll on you to postpone a show, but there's a financial toll as well on artists in our community. So what can audiences, what can the community do now to help our artists? And then once the pandemic is over? Because I think it's important for people to come out of their houses when this ends and show up.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. Now, I don't want the community to have to donate to arts, because the community itself is not doing well financially. I think everybody needs to make sure they're able to take care of their families, themselves. I think that maybe these governments, the state, local, and federal governments need to understand that there are industries that are horribly affected by this.
Yeah, if there's going to be a cruise ship bailout, is there also going to be like an arts bailout?
Yeah. An airline bailout.
Yeah.
I think there I heard there's also going to be like, you know, like utilities bailout too. So why can't artists get a bailout? And then when we're serious, let's be honest, the artists, you know, across all genres really hold society up. And educate society and keep them aware and keep them entertained and you know, so yeah.
Does a crisis like this, I mean, we've never faced a crisis quite like this, but whether it's a hurricane or natural disaster or even a pandemic, does that nurture creativity? I mean, there seems to be two different school of thoughts here. Some people are really thriving in this environment and taking the time to write and create, and other people are just kind of shutting down. Natasha and I had a conversation about that last night, that some people, they're just not feeling the creativity. So for you guys, is this nurturing the creativity or stifling it a little bit?
Well, I think that we're at the very beginning of what I think is going to be a long process. And I don't think there's any guarantee that like we're going to come out on the other end the same, you know, in a macro sense or as individuals. I think that if you have dependents, if you're a creative, it's hard to be a creative person anyway. You have to like find time. Especially if you have kids or parents who depend on you. I would not say that it is stifling my creativity. I would say that like we are in a brand new emergent routine and I'm focused full time on taking care of my very small children who have no other childcare. So like I'm not making creative work for myself, but I don't, for one thing, that's not my living. And for another thing, like it's not like, I'm not thinking about it right now because I'm just trying to sort of like get my bearings in this. But I wouldn't say that I feel stifled. Like I'm not making creative work right now because of the situation, but I'm not like, oh, I'm so stifled. You know, like I wouldn't even say leaning into this particular role. Like I am fulfilling another role in my life right now, which is, you know, to be the parent and caregiver of my little kids.
As women so often do when we spoke on the podcast, and the podcast will drop closer to when the show goes out. But we had this wonderful conversation. So people need to subscribe to the podcast so they make sure they're in tune with when it comes out. But we had this conversation. I think as women, you're always juggling these different roles in different ways than our counterparts who aren't caregivers, because now there's men who are caregivers as well. So I can't even say men who aren't care. You know, it's definitely playing dual roles.
Yeah, I mean, my husband, with his professional situation right now, he has really stepped up and really like been the caregiver of our sons. And like right now he is homeschool dad. Like every morning he makes them wake up at 8:30, take a shower, get dressed. He's like, no, we're not gonna spend 8 weeks in our pajamas, you know? So he gets up and he has a whole schedule. He has created lesson plans and rubrics and he gets excited about that stuff. Great. But he has stepped up. But at the same time, as a woman, I know that there are roles that I have to take on, these like many roles, you know, bringing in the income, making sure my mom is cared for, making sure that the CNAs for my mom are, you know, cared for, and that we have enough supplies. Do we have masks for the CNAs and things like that? Like, all while figuring out, because I call my plantation job. I have my plantation job, but you know, I got to get that check. But on the flip end, I have to keep my creativity going, because I know if I'm not writing, if I'm not recording something, if I'm not rehearsing or creating with Rebecca or creating with my friend Dre or something, if I'm not doing something, I fall into a depression. Mm-hmm. And it happens every day. Even if I'm just like, oh no, I'm feeling good, I don't need to be creative, somehow there's a part of me that's just not fulfilled. And I have to be doing something. And And I feel kind of inspired. Today, like I said, when I went to the grocery store, there was a little incident at the grocery store, and I was like, oh, this is hilarious. Rebecca and I were going to do another show, and I'm going to write a sketch about this. And so it was just, it's just that, yeah.
It's funny, I was saying to Lauren earlier that my kids have been taking these classes with Sam Corey, who's a teaching artist, and like I'll overhear it, and you and I both were teaching artists. I mean, that was like my main sort of day job when I was an actor in Chicago for like 5 years. And I was overhearing it and I was feeling a little bit wistful, but I was also like, man, so much of being a teaching artist is just having like a whole lot of energy and a whole lot of ideas. I'm just like, I don't... Yep. You know, right now I just can't be like, you can be this, you can be that, you can be this, you can be that, you can be this, you can be that. We're green beans now. Now we're frozen beans. And I'm like, I used to be, when you put it that way, that it's sort of like, I've been noticing things in regular life and kind of being like, huh, you know.
You're Rebecca Jackson, you're talking about being in the grocery store and getting that inspiration for something funny happening. How is the show evolving? Because you first started doing the show at the Pit. Is it the Pit?
Mm-hmm.
The Pit.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that evolved since then? And how is it always evolving?
Well, Rebecca and I, when we first sat down, I don't think we had any theme in mind. We just sat down and we knew that we were both awesome and we knew that we had a voice and our voice kind of like resonated and voices resonated and make it into like one beautiful, amazing, powerful voice. And then we just started like purging like with each other and just like, oh my God. And then we just realized there was this like theme that just kept coming up. And we know that we shared even when she was rehearsing, like when we were rehearsing for the reading for the Women's Theater Festival, we talked about how like we don't call ourselves Becky.
They'll try it. That's what they'll do is they'll just try it. They'll be like, blah, 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 Becky.
Hey, Becky. And it's like,
and wait for you to be like, no.
Did I introduce myself as Becky?
My name.
But, right. So yeah, our show started off like very much like this, like very like, we're focused on the Becky versus the not Becky versus the, you know, the relationships and the quirkiness and these social constructs and defining them. And I think now it's evolved into like this thing about be like, you know, live your life, do you, but at the same time we would love for you to self-reflect. We would love for you to walk away from our show saying, you know what, I see where I could work on me.
I kind of think that like so much of our show came about from like sitting and like I thought we were going to be improvising scenes, and instead we like sat and talked and got to know each other and like, you know, talked about just life. And I feel like this has been sort of like a huge life, I mean this is like a huge life altering moment for the entire world. So, you know, maybe on the other end of it we'll like get together and sort of talk about how things are changing and have changed. And I just, you know, I hope that for us individuals and anyone listening and everyone, and it's as minimal as possible.
Okay, so let's play a little game.
Ooh.
I feel like we're going to do a little game.
A quarantine game.
I will name somebody well known, and you are going to tell me Rebecca or Becky.
Okay, but listen, you need to know. Here's something you need to know. All of us have a Becky within.
Yeah,
there's a daily battle with.
Rebecca, I think she's asking, are they 25% or more Becky?
This is hard. I feel like I'm playing God. Okay, I hope that they're just like super obvious.
So they have to be like 25% or more Becky, and then we can label them.
What I'm really afraid of is that you're gonna mention people that like I'm supposed to know who that is, and I'm gonna be like,
no, these will be easy because okay, I'm good. Just winging it.
Okay.
This was not planned, but I think it would be fun because the last couple chats, not between us, but on my Zoom chats the last couple nights have been super serious. So let's start with Governor Cuomo.
He has
Oh my gosh, he's like a Rebecca. Like he has like I would say he has like 15% Becky.
He is having such a star Rebecca moment. His Rebecca star is rising.
Yes.
Governor Cooper.
Well, I have to say, since I personally know him, I have to say he's a Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Okay, good. I agree. At least right now, he seems very leader.
Oh, he's very Rebecca.
Yeah. Donald Trump.
Becky.
Okay, he's like... He's like a Becky.
He's like the epitome of a Becky.
Yeah, like he's like Becky. Like
everything is about him. Yeah. He can't see past his own anything. Like total Becky.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He's like the worst Becky of all Beckys.
Okay. He's the Ur Becky. He is like the whatever, paleo Becky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is definitely.
He's not even the original Becky. Like
he's like yoga pants every day and scrunchy Becky. He is that Becky.
It's just, every Becky, like, and here's the thing, like, all of us have Becky tendencies and Becky impulses, and, like, we give into them sometimes, and, like, you know, it's a new day tomorrow, you try to do better the next time, but, like, he has never once not given into a Becky impulse, and he has never once thought twice about it. He just keeps digging himself into the Becky hole.
Moment of his life. And he's like, he sprays Becky cologne on him.
Ah, he's just a big cloud of Beckiness.
Yeah.
How about Nancy Pelosi?
I think Nancy Pelosi's being as Rebecca as she feels she can.
Yeah.
I love that you're like, we're not going to be political, but here's a bunch of politicians.
Well, you know, I'm trying. I'm working on it.
I think Nancy Pelosi is, she's like 75% Rebecca, and there's like a 25% Becky element in there. Just like how she treats AOC. I don't particularly like how she treats AOC, but that's just me.
Yeah, she's a tough broad, though, and I think that she is a principled person who works hard, and like, what else can you hope for anybody?
She's better than McConnell.
All right, we'll get off of politics for a second. We'll go Kim Kardashian.
Oh, she's a Becky.
Oh, I like Kim. I like Kim Kardashian. I don't like her. I don't watch her shows, but I'm just like, she's so pretty.
She's pretty.
And she's like super successful in business. And I kind of like that she's just unapologetically herself. That is what I find Rebecca-ish about her. But I need you to know that like the only thing I know about her is from Instagram. I've never, ever, ever seen one of her shows.
I feel but like people, all any of us know about her is from Instagram.
But like people, I like that like people hate her and she's like, I don't care, I'm me. You know, and not, and kind of like not in a Donald Trump way, but like I think that she's like, she's just here. I'm like, you're just gonna like wax poetic about something that I don't know. Here's what I'll say. She's probably a Becky, but I have like an unreasonable affection for her. An unreasonable and totally unfounded affection for her. That doesn't mean she's not a Becky. She's a Becky.
Jackson looks like she is not buying this.
I think she's like, she's a Becca. Like, she's like half Becky.
Is that like the medium place?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think I just created a new thing.
Like the one person.
Yeah, like, I think she's like half Rebecca, half Becky. Okay. Like, I think there are times when she owns her path and like is like a badass. But then there's like times where like she says things that I'm just like, oh my gosh, she is clueless to people who just don't have status.
I think it's more important to like judge actions than people. There are very few people that you can just be like Donald Trump is sort of like slam dunk Becky, personified Becky. Like, I think most of us instead have like, we'll have Becky days and Rebecca days, or we have like Becky moments and Rebecca moments. Like, it's hard to, you know, it's an ever fluid thing. It's more like when you did X, that was a real Rebecca move.
Well, I am glad you guys both told me that I was not a Becky, so I feel good about that. Alec is saying hello to us. So, hi, Alec.
Hi, Alec.
Joining us.
Alec is my friend.
Okay.
Ooh.
Alec, if you have a question.
How's everyone doing? I'm sorry that you got canceled by a global pandemic. I was happy to be there in Chapel Hill to see your show. And I wish that more people were able to see it.
So whenever we remount, that's the hope, is that we can show this show that it'll still be relevant. I think many parts of it still will be. And thanks.
I see you guys, and I'm like, how could you apply this Zoom tech? Like, how can you apply remote video to sort of restage it? Like, how, like,
oh, Alec, we have to figure out how to use the technology before we get that far into it.
Yeah, it's, I'm not going to make this about me, but I'm learning a lot about it. If I share stuff, if I find out stuff, I'll share it with you. I've got, like, people working on NC teletherapy, so, like, therapy.
Awesome.
On Zoom, so there should definitely be sketch comedy two-woman shows on Zoom.
I agree.
Oh, God.
Go get them, y'all.
Yay! Thank you, Alec.
I'm in. So, Alec, I'm going to turn your mic off for a second, and
okay, bye.
Gerald is saying hello to us, so I'm going to unmute.
Hi, Gerald.
Hi, how are you? Do you have something you want to add to the conversation?
Well, this is like I said, this is fun. I've enjoyed this. You guys are very funny ladies. Oh my God.
I'm actually directing Gerald in a stage reading.
Yay!
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, can you plug it? What kind of stage reading are you doing?
It's with the Cary Playwrights Forum. it will be April 18th. To the 19th, we're gonna stream it live on Facebook. I think you have to go to the Cary Playwrights Forum page to see it. And you guys get to vote, which is your favorite stage reading.
Is it the Chrysalis?
Yes, it's the Chrysalis project. So you pick which one you like the best, and then the one that gets the most votes will then be produced into a full-on production.
Full production, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be tuning in. And Gerald, I can't wait to see your stage reading.
Well, thank you. I actually did it last year. I did the same play last year. And I played the same character last year. So I'm kind of familiar with it.
I didn't even know that.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Oh, so the shows that you've done, I know this seems like a crazy question, but What's the best show that you've done, and what's the worst show that you've done?
You know, we've only done the show in its entirety 5 times. So it's hard to say. I would say probably like the best one we did was probably at the Women's Theater Festival.
Yes.
Because we had already had our run at the Pit, and it was in like a bigger theater. It was a festival crowd. It was a big crowd. They were like really ready. They were really just ready for it. But none of our shows have been, I mean, we don't ever, but like we haven't done the show that many times. Like that's, I think, why we were so looking forward to this, is that we were like, we worked our booties off for 9 months on this show and have performed it in its entirety 5 times total. So that's a real bummer. But no, I don't think we ever had a show that was just like, that just tanked, you know? I don't know.
No, I don't think we, and even when we were at the Pit, we sold out like 3 of our 4 shows that we had at the Pit.
Yeah. And had good, fun audiences.
Yeah.
It's now.
Our worst show is ahead of us, Gerald.
Oh please. No. No, Rebecca, I don't want to. I would say, I would have to say one of our worst moments together would be on the flight back from New York Fest. And we were landing on the Delta Airline plane. Love you, Delta Airlines. No, this is not to you. And the turbulence was so insane. Insane.
Very bad.
Like I'm a nervous flyer anyway, and thank God I was flying with Rebecca because she totally like nurtured me. And I grabbed her hand and I was like, we dropped like 3 times. Huge. The plane was like this. And I looked at Rebecca and I was like, tell me right now, we're going to see our children. And she was like, Rebecca, we're going to see our children. I was like, we're going to be fine. Tell her we're going to be fine.
So like, it was good that you were freaking out though, because then it gave me, like, I knew my role. I was like, great. You're going to freak out and I'm going to calm you down. Like, perfect. I can do that. Yeah, it was real bad. That was bad.
And so that now it's passed and we will never have worse experiences anymore.
But does an experience like that make you closer as friends?
Yes. I was embarrassed for like weeks after. I was like, Rebecca thinks I'm crazy.
I was just like, I'm glad she did all the freaking out so that I don't have to do that. But yeah, I think it's funny. Like we have like, I don't know. I mean, Gerald, you're a creative person as well, but I was talking to a friend about this, you know, like the week before our show was supposed to go on, and about how like my relationship with Rebecca has sort of like, you know, gone from being like, you're cool, let's write a show together. Oh, turns out we have a lot of the same sensibilities, to being like, you are my friend. You are like my true, real get up friend, like through emergencies.
Thank you for being.
It's true, but you know, like we've traveled together. We've like very briefly faced our own mortality together. And so, yeah, like, yeah, I don't know what the question was, but the answer is yes. I love Rebecca Jackson Artist, and she's the best. She's my friend.
Yeah.
Who?
Yes. If Rebecca Fox was, like, I don't know, if Rebecca Fox was a house, I would totally, like, make that my home.
That is lovely, actually, though. You know, I think women need to lift each other up and not put each other down so much, so I love that. Thank you, Gerald, for...
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
...participating. And if there are no other questions, we're going to wrap it up, but we will keep an eye out for your show because I know it's going to happen, and I will be there cheering you guys on. And if we figure out how to use technology, maybe we'll do it online.
Well, one idea that I got from Sprout today was... I feel like Rebecca and I should do these like little conversations on our Rebecca Show Facebook page. That's like, hello. And then like make these little, like, I don't know, 5-minute conversations that are just like, this is what we talk about. And then like out, but we don't know. I don't know. I haven't talked to Rebecca about it. Rebecca's probably like,
Let's do it.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Your ideas are good. I said, I'm into it. Let's do it.
I want to thank everybody who joined us on this virtual talkback. The entire talkback schedule is available on the RDU on Stage Facebook page. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Follow us on social media at RDU on Stage or visit us online at www.rduonstage.com. Until next time, stay safe. Stay healthy and stay engaged, and support your local artists.